So this morning I want to talk about prayer, and since I'm going to talk about that, I want to start out by saying that I have good news for somebody. God has delivered your prayer, and you are a winner. There is 4 feet of snow covering the alley behind my house. Please come and claim your prize. Somebody was praying for that so they could snowmobile. I know it. So full disclosure, this is a topic I haven't really ever done a talk on, and it's something that at times I've been comfortable with, and at other times I'm kind of uncomfortable with. So with this, can you join me in prayer? Heavenly Lord, this morning as we have come together to worship you, we give you thanks that we can freely gather in your house. I pray these words spoken in this message have been inspired by you and your word, and that it will reach those you intend it to reach. I also pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that we would be blessed in this time we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. I know we have seasons in life, seasons where words can flow, where the relationship can be felt as he speaks to me. So sometimes it feels futile. Sometimes it seems repetitive. Sometimes it seems to bring more questions than answers. It makes me wonder, does he really hear me? Prayer. Jesus retreated to be by himself to do it. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den for it. Bon Jovi told the story of Tommy and Gina living on one. Garth Brooks sometimes thanks God for unanswered ones. And for us, it is one of the most powerful things we can do. You can laugh a little bit. Try to keep it light. So how are we doing with it? This maybe isn't the first time you've heard somebody say it, but the power of prayer, it gives us the means to directly go to the one that made the universe. It gives us a way to lay our needs and our fears, our worries at his feet. But if we're honest, how many things do we really lay at his feet? In my earlier years, I've had misguided notions and thoughts on prayer. There have been a couple of different things I struggled with, and at times I had a hard time overcoming. Even now, as I've been a person that prays, I can still sometimes fall back into those thoughts. I think for most, the big hurdle in prayer can be the thought that we are so small. How could the God that spoke everything into existence come down to my level? And if he could, why would he listen? I mean, the last time I checked, God probably had bigger things to worry about than my little insignificant want or need. Another thing that was this thought that it was some kind of secret formula, like a math problem. Does it go pray for something, give thanks, forgive a sin, or was it forgive a sin, give thanks, pray for something? In the end, I wonder if I got it wrong, if it'd even be heard. Do I need to pray about small things, or is it just really the big things? Is there a limit on how many things I can ask for, or how many times I can ask them? Do I need to bother God with the things that I would see in my own life as insignificant? Lastly, is it really going to be answered, or am I just talking? And how will I know if it is an answer? How will it be presented to me? And how long will it take? Now, can it actually happen? So I want to go through these thoughts and kind of share with how I've grown in them. And, you know, maybe somebody's struggling with one of these things. Hopefully you can glean something. First off, the God of the universe that in his majesty and awesomeness spoke and separated the light from darkness with a word does care. He does care about what you bring him in prayer. With that kind of power, asking anything of him seems it would be impossible. To put an earthly view on it, it almost seems like sending an oil tanker to deliver a gas can. But even that thought makes you wonder, how can you talk to the captain of that oil tanker? See, there's a story about a Confederate soldier just after the Civil War that went to the White House to see President Lincoln because he wanted to talk to him about some things that he saw as unjust following the Civil War. Each time, though, that he went to the White House, as he'd enter the entrance, soldiers would block his way. And so after being rejected a couple of these times, the soldier sat. He felt dejected, and so he went and sat. And as he was sitting there, a little boy came up to him. And the little boy, seeing that he looked rejected, asked him. The soldier went on to tell him that he was there to see the president, but he hadn't been able to get in. He had no access to him. Little boy told him, "Follow me." The boy brought him in to see the president. As they approached the guards let him pass. He brought him into the library to see President Lincoln. The boy that had come upon this Confederate soldier was Tad Lincoln. He was able to speak to the father because of the son. And so in the same way, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. God does have the power to do the extremely large things, but he also cares for our small needs too. He came into this world, suffered at the hands of the ones he came to save. He would have done this for us, even if we would have been the only one. So then on to the formula or the math problem of prayer. Is it like a combination lock? Is it turn it 3 times to the left, 2 times to the right? How many numbers do I need again? The truth of the matter is that the biggest part of praying is to just do it. Jesus tells us plainly in the book of Luke, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food that we need and forgive our sins. So we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Whether or not you really want to go in depth is up to you. Another thing that we get stuck on is the thought that we need to be uber positive. We pray it, and at some point, sometimes it gets overboard. There are prayers all over in the Bible where people are crying out in anger, in frustration with God. We can give our doubts, our angers and our unbelief to him. In the book of Mark, there was a man who brought his son to Jesus to be healed. Jesus tells the man, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And in the face of Jesus Christ, this man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's okay to get that out because we are fallen creatures in a fallen world. We're not perfect, and just the thought that acknowledgement, we give our hope and reaffirm our need for God. That reaffirmation will spur us on to pray about more things and deeper and be deeper in our prayer. It is good to say, I need you, Lord. The world we live in, however, makes any sort of sense of weakness or dependency in our flesh to be our own downfall. When in reality, that is what we should be giving to God, admitting that we are dependent on him, that we're dependent on his will and his sovereignty to guide us and strengthen us. And talk about counterculture. We were told, as growing up, or I was anyway, is that I had to be independent and I had to be self-sufficient to not lean on anybody else. You know, by a worldly measure, I guess those are good things. That's a way to measure success, right? Well, they can be good development traits. We first need to remember that without him, it's all useless. We can't do it without God. If we think we can do it without him, we're going down a dangerous path. And that doesn't end well. So, do we pray for big things? Can we pray for anything? Do we only give thanks for what he has done? If I pray for others, does that mean that there's something wrong with them? And conversely, if somebody prays for me, does that mean I should be embarrassed? What about prayers that could be seen as silly? Now, I have a story about a silly prayer, and I think Jeff, I think you were there, and I think Tim and Cheryl were there. And I don't know if anybody else that's here would have been. Oh, well, yeah, Annie was there. So we were at Lane and Betsy Moeller's house one night. This was a few years ago. We had a Monday night Bible study. And it was a small get-together. The men's group decided that, hey, let's have a get-together with all our wives. And Lane and Betsy hosted us out at their farm over by Rossalt. And I don't remember the exact topic we were talking about, but something to the extent of believing and using prayer as a weapon against itself to say, you know, God, if I do this and you don't do it, then that proves that you don't hear me. And I said as a joke, I said, you can't literally say that. God, shut off the lights, and if you don't, that's proof. You remember what happened? You don't? Do you? The power went out. And it was... It was literally within 5 seconds of me saying that, the lights went out. We're in South Dakota, so somebody might have forgot to feed the hamster, but you got that power grid over by Rossalt. I don't know. No, we were all sitting. There was nobody near a switch that I, to this day, believe that God turned off the lights and turned them back on. And it wasn't a long time. It was like out, on. Just like you'd expect. So you want to know if he answers silly prayers? He will answer your silly prayers if it brings glory to him. That is the key, though. We ask for things in prayer. What are we asking for? Do we realize that he answers them how he does? And do we give thanks when he does? In that moment of that silly prayer, God was able to use that simple request to bring about his glory. He knew that there would be a point to that simple act. And well, I guess today I am sharing it with you. So the act that I wrote this and I was half tired. It was a silly spot, you know, that we were in our discussion, and it grew to be something now that I can share about the power of prayer. It was a living example of what I had experienced, what we experienced. Now, we also need to realize that prayer is a two-way street. You can ask, but then we got to be willing to listen back. We got to be willing to accept that what we are asking for, it may be given in a way that we aren't expecting. We also need to accept that it will be answered according to his timing, and that it may require us to have the willingness to work towards that and sacrifice for what we are asking for. If I ask God to make me an Olympic runner, do you think he would say, okay, Jake, you haven't ran more than a couple miles in the past decade, but boom, there you go. You are now Usain Bolt. I will say this, Lord, I know it's not the first time and I know it's not the last time that I could be wrong today. God is not a genie in a bottle that just grants your wishes. But I will be bold enough to say that if I were to pray that God would make me an Olympic runner for the to reflect his glory, he would equip me and he would make a way. So as I was writing this last night, I was thinking to myself, why would I think of an Olympic runner? And it kind of, it came to me, and the only thing I could say is, you know, you pray about, when we write these messages, when I write these messages, I pray about what I should talk about. The only thing I could think of that the words Olympic runner came to me was this story. I met a young man when I was a young man one morning. The extent of our discussion was, I'm glad to see you here, to which he said, it's okay, I can take it from here. Young man's name was Courtney. He had played college football. He was a very good athlete. I found out that he had aspired to play in the NFL. Things didn't go that way. Instead, he had found himself, he was a medic in the 1st Armored Cav Division. We were on the side of a road in Baghdad in 2005. He had a week to go home before he was leaving. He said those words, I handed off care to him. And less than a minute, 2 minutes later, he was laying on the ground, missing his leg. A group of guys that we were with stepped on an IED. And so what had become a bad situation turned vastly worse. But at this point, I just want to bring it back. You're thinking to yourself, wow, okay. The reason I bring this up is that, again, the word Olympic runner came to me. And this isn't about me. This is about reflecting the glory of God. God took something grim in Courtney and used it to show his glory. After a stint of rehab, Courtney went on to compete for a spot at the U.S. Paralympic team in 2008, 2012, and 2016. To bring things back around, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, Courtney's prayer to be an Olympic sprinter. I'll never know that. But what if it was? Just think, that's how God fulfilled his prayer. The pain that he had to go through. I think that many times we pray to God to give us the strength to get through the tough times. Do you ever think about going through those tough things as preparation for even tougher things that we're going to face? I know this is cliche, but I just want to say it. There's the notion that God will never give you more than you can handle. I do not believe in that. I believe God will give you more than you can handle so that you rely on him to make it. Some of the darkest times in my life are linked to the day that I talked about. That ultimately, none of that ever happened, would I be here? Would I be talking to you guys right now? There's so many things that happened that day, and I think every time I've given a message, I've referenced something that happened that day. I was an atheist, by the way, on that day. Today's verse for reflection was 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your worries and cares. Cast all your worries to God, for he cares for you. This one line changed my life. As a Christian, as becoming a Christian, this was my aha moment. this was the light bulb in my head that finally had turned on. I had to learn how to give it all to him, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I had to be honest with myself and to know that if while I was lying, I was only lying to myself. You can't hide from or lie to God because he already knows in his sovereignty. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge him. It's our duty to give him thanks and point to the one that has done these things in his glory. Think about Bethlehem Church. I know I've seen us pray over the past 8-9 years that we've been coming to the fellowship here. God has brought us to this point. Through tough times and through good times, we are all here. Without the support and prayers we have received and the prayer warriors that we have in our fellowship, I don't know where we would be. So as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to think about how many times we say, oh, it's okay. I just need to get through this. I want to tell you, there's no shame in saying, hey, I am struggling with this. Will you pray for this with me? There is also great strength in the moment when somebody asks you that we are obedient and actually pray. Sometimes right there in that moment. Sometimes it's easy to dismiss his answering of our prayers as pure coincidence, kind of like the light. But I want to ask you this. What will you think of the next time that you see one of your prayers come to light? Maybe be prepared for what you've asked for.